or study the Bible with my family. You know, we sit down and we have scripture reading. We go through those things. But sometimes I just don't feel like we're cutting or getting to the meat of what the Bible's trying to tell us. I understand that frustration. Help me to better understand how I can better communicate with my family what God desires of us. The one word study, I think, is probably one of the greatest tools I've seen concerning the area of family devotionals to ever come out for the Lord's church. And I think it's going to be a great benefit for the body of Christ and the way that it was put together. And I'm thankful for Dan and Dale Jenkins for having the insight, and several other gospel preachers, as you'll notice, your one-word book as we go through this, that spent the last several years putting this together, because one of the things we struggle with is, how do we be better Christians, and how do I convey that at home, and how do I strengthen my family, and how do we grow closer to God? So with the oversight of the elders and what we're going to look at and the copy of the book that you have, is the way this is going to work is every Sunday night, the word for which you're going to study the rest of the week is the word that I'm going to preach Sunday evening. And tonight we're going to look at the word concerning God's word, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And as we go through these things, I'm not going to look specifically at every day that you're going to go through with your family concerning that devotional, because I want that to be something that you can do together. But I'm going to touch broadly on what that word means and how that word empowers us, how that word helps us and builds us up as God's children, and how you're going to use that word that specific week concerning your family devotional. So as you go through this, what I want you to understand is literally these devotionals are designed for 15 minutes. And brethren, if we cannot carve out 15 minutes with our family, we got a problem. And if we cannot carve out 15 minutes to sit down with our children and study the Word of God, we really got a problem. And we need to adjust our priorities. Do it before dinner. Do it after dinner. Do it before bedtime. But sit down and show your children the importance of getting into God's Word and focusing your attention specifically on these things that we're going to study for the next 52 weeks of this year. And once this is done, you can start over next year. These words never get old. And these words are words perhaps you've had questions about or things you've wanted to study more in depth. And we're going to look at these words as we go through over the next 52 weeks of this year. So I want us to dive into the Word tonight as we look at this book, as we understand what God's Word means to us. Words are extremely powerful, are they not? We often sing the song, Angry words, oh, let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. Why? Because we understand the power of words and how they can cut deep to the heart. James talks about how the tongue can almost be a weapon and how powerful the tongue is. So we know that words are extremely powerful for us as individuals. If I were to ask you this question, what's the most powerful word that someone has ever said to you, or words? Maybe it was, congratulations, you're having triplets. It's pretty powerful, right? Get your attention. Or, I now pronounce you man and wife. I remember for me, it was when I stood on that parade ground at Parris Island, and they said, good morning, Marines, for the first time. Had a different ring to it. Those words are powerful. Words mean a lot to us. We communicate with words. But when we think about the power of God's Word and what it means to us as His children, it's more than just everyday words, because we understand the power from which it's coming. Words concerning what God's Word has given to us save our souls. God's Word is living. It's His breath of what He's given to us concerning how He wants us to live our life. As young one boy said, I understand what Bible stands for, basic information before leaving earth. That's really what it is, isn't it? It's our guidebook. It's our standard operating procedure. It tells us how we function. It tells us how we go about and traverse the difficulties of this life. It gives us the highs, the lows. It tells us everything that we need to know that pertains to life and godliness. So words, when it comes to God's Word, are extremely important. As we sang in the song a few minutes ago that comes from the psalmist, Psalm 119:105, the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It guides us. It directs us. But when we think about the Word from the aspect that we're given the Word, it goes back to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That being Jesus. Even in Revelation 19, it references Jesus as being the Word of life. So the Word for us is extremely powerful. Because when we understand the power of words, let's see if I can get this to work. When we understand the power of words, and when we understand the power of God's Word, it better helps us to understand what His Word means to us and what it means for me as a child of God. You're given just a few moments to think about it. I think a lot of you would pinpoint a specific time in your life that a particular word was poignant. Maybe that word sticks out to you this day. The day that you got married, or maybe the day that you're going to graduate high school for our young folks, or maybe the words that you're going to hear when you graduate college, or maybe the words that you're going to hear, some of you gray-haired folks, congratulations, you're going to be a grandparent really soon. Those words sway us. They mean something to us. They weigh heavy on our heart. But I don't think we truly know the power of God's Word sometimes and what it means to us. I think it's a belief and a trust in the power of words that really prompted this Word project and understanding the power of these words to us. And maybe tomorrow when you sit down for the first time with this study, I want you to go through and just look at some of the words that we're going to be covering and think about how these words are going to affect you over the next several months as we go through this book project and as you grow closer as a family. And what I'm really hoping to hear, and I'm pretty sure the elders are the same way, that at the end of this study in 52 weeks, that you'll come back and say, thank you, I needed that. My family is stronger today than we were at the beginning of the year because of it. Because, brethren, it's amazing to me that now I see commercials telling people to eat dinner together. When I was growing up, if you weren't in that seat at 5 o'clock for dinner, then you were in trouble. That was just something that we did. That was commonplace. That was common knowledge to sit down. And you know the first thing my mother asked me, the same thing we ask our children, not so much now that they're homeschooled, was, how was your day? Tell me about your day. What did you learn today? What was your favorite part of the day? Now imagine asking your child this and then being able to answer you. What did you learn in the one word today that's going to help you tomorrow? What did you learn today that's going to help you be a better person or a better Christian? Because this book is going to challenge you each day and give you something to think about. So I encourage you, as you sit down and understand the power of words and how important these powerful words are, to know that these words are what's going to help guide you in your life and get you over difficulties. But not only do we understand the power of words, more importantly, we understand the power of God's Word. We understand that it makes us complete, right? Makes us who we are as Christians. God gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness. We understand that Jesus is the Word, and the power of those words are what saves our souls. We understand the importance of reading God's Word, studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. All these words, when we read within the Bible, are God speaking to mankind. This isn't something that's simply made up, that's haphazardly put together. This is God speaking to us, giving us His holy and divine Word. You know, there's a lot of books that are written by men concerning how to better yourself, how to improve your relationships, how to improve your marriage, how to make yourself stronger, how to make yourself a better business person, how to make yourself a better college student, a better high school student. There's a plethora of books when you go to Barnes & Noble in the help section, right? But what if I told you I can give you one book that does all of that? And brethren, it wasn't written by any man. Because if you want to know how to be a better husband, read Ephesians chapter 5. You want to know how to be a better Christian, and you want to know how to be a better church, read the book of Corinthians. If you want to know what it means to truly suffer in life and say, well, I really don't have it that bad, read the powerful words in the book of Job and see what he went through, and then tell me how bad your day was then. We understand the power of God's Word and what it means to us. The Center for the Study of New Testament Manuscript list over 5,800 New Testament manuscripts. So we can see the power in this. Never in the world has there been such a reliable, accurate, moving, and powerful document as the Bible. Long-lasting, and millions upon millions upon millions of copies have been sold or given away. Do you think there's something to this? The greatest display of how I understood truly the power of this book was when I went to Murmansk, Russia in November. The temperature was, about 5 degrees below zero. It was spitting snow. It was freezing outside. I looked like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in my snow suit, handing out pamphlets to invite people to a gospel meeting and study the Bible with us. But there were some ladies that had traveled some hour plus because they heard we were giving Bibles away for free. Basic $2 Bibles that we brought with us. But they had traversed over an hour in that weather and snow because they simply wanted to get a hold of a Bible. And one lady in Russian told our translator, the preacher said, "I've never before held the Bible in my hands." That's how powerful this word is. When somebody's willing to go through that much trouble simply to hold it, and brethren, how often do we take it for granted? You've got a copy right there in the back of your pew that you can pick up and read whenever you want. If you didn't have a Bible at home, you can ask me or the elders. We'll get you a Bible. But I think sometimes we take for granted the power of God's Word and what He's given to us. Doesn't the Bible say in Hebrews 4 and verse 12 that the Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword? Piercing even unto the dividing asunder. That is, it gets into our soul. That's how powerful it is, and it moves us. You don't think the Word of God isn't powerful? Read Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost as Peter and the other apostles are standing up as they were preaching God's Word and convicting them of what they had done to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They finally said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" Because they were so moved by those powerful words. And Peter told them exactly what they needed to do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So words are extremely powerful, but more so, God's words are extremely powerful. I think the ultimate thing we understand is that this is the word of life. Those things that pertain to life and godliness. The ultimate of all words, of course, is Jesus, who is the Logos, who is the Word. And God sent Him to be the Word. Again, John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jump down to verse 14, and it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." I can't even imagine what it was like for the apostles, the disciples, to sit with Jesus and listen to the Word speak to them and teach them. But yet, brethren, we've got the same thing recorded for us, and I think sometimes we take it for granted. There's a lot of linguists and Bible interpreters who have noted the inadequacy, of translating the word logos. But the way that John uses the word here uses such richness that any single English word cannot really render its fullness. In John 1:15, John said that Jesus came to reveal God to mankind. Again, Jesus said, "I've got to work the works of Him that sent me while it is day, for no man can work when it's night." Jesus came to show us who God was, not only in His preaching and teaching, but also by the way that He lived. Jesus is the divine will by which the worlds were made. To me personally, Jesus is the reason and the revelation for God to mankind. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 25. Paul writes, "Who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope and glory." Paul said, "It's my job to preach the Word of God to you, that you might fulfill the richness of His glory and be blessed." Brethren, we've got the Word of God in our hands every single day. Do we understand the power behind that? You see, the sum total of the reason for us being on this planet to begin with is because of Jesus. Because, brethren, without Him, we're absolutely nothing. And without the Word, all other words really pale in comparison. So let me ask you this. Why be excited about a year-long, one-word-a-week study? I think, first of all, we must not underestimate how powerful understanding our relationship with God is. Because do you truly understand your relationship with God? And is it in a right relationship with God? You know, one of the first things that I teach couples when I do premarital counseling is communication, communication, communication. If you can't talk to each other, because there will be a time when you roll over in 4 or 5 years and go, "What was I thinking?" If you cannot communicate with each other effectively, your relationship will fail. Mark my word, it will fail. But if you can communicate, effectively communicate your feelings, your wants, your desires, your needs, everything that entails of what it means to be in a marriage, then you can get through anything, right? The highs, the lows, the ups, the downs. There's a couple that I look to concerning inspiration when it comes to being married. Almost 70 years they've been together now. And Miss Bessie will be the first to tell you, "Larry, there's many times I don't like him, but I love him." And she said, "There's been many times where we didn't communicate effectively, but we knew what true love meant concerning that, of what a relationship was and what it meant to be married." When we understand truly what it means for God to communicate with us, and that we can communicate with Him through prayer, and that time that we can spend together in devotion with our families, then we truly understand the power of God's Word. Because I think this study is going to deepen and enhance our appreciation for the Word of God each and every week. We have to remember that the head has to lead the heart and not the other way around. Solomon said, "Wisdom rests in the heart of man of understanding, but it makes itself known even in the midst of fools." And Paul prayed to the brethren at Colossae and Laodicea and other places that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know what Paul's saying? Everything that I need to know concerning my life as Christian, as a Christian to be blessed, is in this book. And what's even more disappointing today is we have better access to it than ever before in history. If you've got a smartphone, you can access God's Word. If you've got internet, you can access God's Word. But how often do you access it? And how much time do I spend in it? I think a second advantage of the One Word Project is that it's going to enrich your heart spiritually. Jesus knows how to help us find genuine treasure when He often encourages throughout the Bible for us to search our hearts. He told the Pharisees this a lot of times in the way they dealt with people. But in Luke 6:45, Jesus said, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." Echoes what the proverb writer wrote in Proverbs 23 and verse 7. "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Our hearts reflect who we are, and if our heart reflects that we know God's Word, what do you think it's going to reflect in turn, not only in society, but within our family? Does your family know that you truly love God's Word and how much time that we spend in it? You see, I think if your hearts are touched by this one-word study, then I think it's our belief that Jesus is going to be magnified, brethren, and the church is going to grow spiritually. Because one of the things I tell couples when I sit down with them before I do their wedding, and I will not do a wedding unless they go through counseling, the very first thing that I draw on a piece of paper is a pyramid. At one corner I put her name, at the other corner I put his name. At the very top of that pyramid I put God. And one of the things I tell them, if you want to grow closer to each other, you first got to grow closer to God. As you traverse up that pyramid and grow closer to Him, brethren, you're going to grow closer to each other. As a family, as we grow closer to God, we grow closer together. Not only do you grow closer together at home, brethren, we grow closer together here at Cary. Families are what makes society. You want to know why society is what it is today? Look at the family structure and what it is today. We've had a breakdown of the family in society. Make your family strong spiritually speaking, and it makes the church strong spiritually speaking. I think it's our desire and understanding, and for your hearts, to be more tuned into God's grace with this study every week. And I hope as you go through this, that's exactly what happens, that it's going to bless your life and that it's going to enrich your life. But here's the other thing I also want you to do with this study as you go through this, especially if your children are older, especially if you have older men or young men, should I say, teenagers, those who are baptized, let them lead sometimes. Let them be the ones to open God's Word and direct you and your family. That's how you teach them. But show them what God's Word truly means to you each and every day. And brethren, if we can't carve out 15 minutes, let's sit down and talk. We want this to enrich your lives daily. We want to grow closer to Christ together, not only as a family, but also as a family here at Cary. And I certainly hope that's going to be the case for all of us together. You know, the great thing about God's Word is it tells us exactly what we need to do. I love simplicity. Keep it simple. Tell me exactly what I need to know and why I need to know it. And God's Word does exactly that. He keeps it simple. He says, if you want to be in eternity with me, you'll obey the gospel. Doesn't get much simpler than that. I had an engineer come up to a preacher friend of mine. We were at a seminar. Not saying anything about you engineers out there. But he walked up to my friend and he said, and he had not obeyed the gospel, and I don't think he still has obeyed the gospel. He's there every time the doors are open. But he said, can you tell me logically where in the Bible it tells me that I've got to be saved? My friend said, absolutely. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. He said, it doesn't get any more logical than that. He said, I'll have to think about that one. The Bible's plain and simple and tells us exactly what we need to do. If you need to obey the gospel tonight, I encourage you to do that. The Word tells you what you need to do. Repent of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32, and putting on Christ in baptism, Acts 22:16. And if you're here tonight as a child of God and maybe you've fallen astray, maybe you need some encouragement, whatever the case might be, let us help you with that tonight. We want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. But God's Word tells you that all those things are going to be okay. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:7. If you need that tonight, I encourage you to do so as together we stand and as we sing.